of looking at things above. And of course, when we think about things above, which I'll read, the idea is that we are to set our affection on things above. Now, as a person who trusts Christ as their Savior, believes in the Lord, well then, I want us to think about that. We've all, at one stage in our lives, trusted Him. And now, when we look in the Word of God, where is Jesus Christ now? Amen, Avi, he's here. Good to see you, buddy. The Lord is where, everyone? Just amuse me for a moment. I need to... He's in us, yeah, amen, but where also is He? He's in heavenly places, amen. So where is Jesus Christ? In heaven. How do we know that? He rose from the dead. So when we are talking of, when we're talking of the Lord, we're talking of someone that is not on earth. He's in heaven, but as we looked at, but as we know, Jesus Christ is in us, and that is the hope of glory, amen. That when you got saved, He entered into your heart, and now we have Him dwelling in us. And of course, I want to have a look this morning about things to come. But last, so let's read here in chapter 3 and verse 1. And of course, understand with your Bible, and you really do need to take note of this thought, God doesn't force Himself on anyone, okay? This is really important. But He says here, if ye then be risen with Christ, and obviously that is a whole thing coming from chapter 2 there, but He says if. Of course, the ifs in the Bible have largely a lot to do with where we're at. So He says, if ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Now, when you think about where Jesus sits now, He's on the right hand of God. He's where? At the throne. And the throne is the center of the Father's will. Would you agree, without going into any great doctrinal statement, but that is the will of God. The throne is in heaven there. Now, obviously, as we looked about last week, if you're saved, you have Jesus Christ in you as well. And so we are to get rid of the self-centeredness, amen, of the self-centered life, and allow Jesus Christ to be the center of your life and His Word and those things. And of course, as we looked at last week, where He says in verse 2, set your affection on things above, not on things of the earth. I cannot set my affection on the things above as long as I am, say, on the throne, or my affections are set, say, here. Amen? There is a battle, would you agree? And so if I'm going to set my affections on things above, obviously then my mind is going to be transformed by the Word of God. We have the Word of God. That's why He says, I have not seen nor entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love Him. But then He goes on to say, but the Holy Ghost hath revealed these things to us by comparing spiritual things with spiritual. In other words, we don't know everything that God has prepared for us, but there are some things I know by comparing Scripture with Scripture, knowing and understanding the things that God does have prepared for us, amen. And if I'm going to set my affections, I mean, you think about the disciples, what did Jesus say to them? He said, where I go, you're coming too. He said, listen here, guys, you are looking for a kingdom down here. Just let me just get something straight. I've got a palace for you in heaven, and if it was not so, I would not have told you. Isn't that what He said? Well, what's He actually saying to them? Your whole mind thought, you disciples, as you followed me, you were looking for the kingdom of heaven to be set up on earth, but that didn't happen, did it? They rejected Him. He went to the cross, and of course the disciples, what did they do at the cross? Scattered. What a great disappointment it was. Till Jesus turned up on the road to Emmaus and started speaking to him. And of course, the idea there is though, the idea is that their affection was something that didn't happen, but then now the Lord says our affection are on things above. Then He goes on in verse 3, for ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ and God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall he also appear with him in glory. Now, I want everyone to think for a moment, if you're saved this morning, you have two lives. Amen? You have two. What's the Bible say? For you are dead and your life is hid where? In God. It's hid. I have another life, it's hid. In fact, you can't even see the life that I have in Jesus Christ, amen? You might see it manifest, but you can't see it. Now, this is where we're going to go this morning. Because it's hid in God. If you want some doctrine, if you want to sum up all the second coming, if you want to sum up everything, if you just knew and understood this, notice what verse 4 says, when Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall he also appear with him where? In glory. Is that not something to come? These are things to come. He says, we are dead and your life is. Now, you know, when the Bible says is hid in God, that doesn't mean it's hid later on. Okay? If it says is, it means now. I think 1 John says, as Jesus is, so are we on earth. Is meaning now. So this is a now message. And it's a now message because our life is hid in God. And we do see here, though, that when we see here that if you believe the Bible, that when he shall appear, where shall we also appear? With him. Because where are we? In him. So we're already there according to the word of God. Amen. So I have a life that's hid in Jesus Christ. So do you. And I know that things to come, this is the things to come, that when he shall appear, you and I will appear with him. Where? In glory, which is above us. Amen? And then he's going to come back and so forth. We know all about that. We won't go into that. That's not really where I want to go. But I want to bring you a thought this morning about things to come. And I want to show you how important this truth is for your life, especially if you are confessing Jesus Christ, because it's so important when you get hold of this. Now, if my life is hidden God, is it fair to say that God is in secret? You can't see him, can you? He's in secret, isn't he? God is in secret and he sees from the secret place. What do you mean he sees from the secret place? Where's Christ? Christ is risen. Where does he sit now? Right in the Father. Where are we? In him. We're already there. So the Father sees us from where? A secret place. You say, how's that possible, Simon? Because the blood atonement was made for our sins, amen. And he sees us. He sees you and I from a place that you and I don't see us. Is that fair to say? I see you. You see me. But if our life's hidden God, I want us to get the thought that God sees us from a secret place. Where is that secret place? In heaven, according to the word of God. So this is a faith thing. He sees us from a secret place. Where are we, everyone? In him. And he can see us. Hallelujah for that. So he can see us. And I know that according to the Bible and by faith, I believe that things to come, so you have to take this by faith, that things to come, according to what it says, that when he shall appear, which is the largest doctrine in the Bible of Christ's return, that we will what? Appear with him. If you want to read more on that, read 1 John, and 1 John will talk more about that same principle, that when you and I got saved, God put us in him. And of course, that's just... So when we live in the secret place, when I live in the secret place, what do you mean? When I recognize where my life is, when I understand my life's in God, because I got saved and we've entered into that ark, I'm now in him. When I realize where I'm living from, the standpoint where my life is now, that my standpoint, my life is not so much here as more there, because there is eternal, here is temporal. But when I live in that secret place and understand that He is my God and my Lord, and I begin to walk with Him, is it fair to say then that's a place where there is no doubt? Is there any doubt in heaven? Who doubts? There is no doubt in heaven, everyone. Amen? It is full belief, faith by sight, by the way. They can see Him. But when I'm walking in that, the Spirit say, when I'm walking according to that understanding, now I'm walking in a place where there's no doubt. Now, if I'm walking in that place where there is no doubt, and I'm walking in that sense, should there be then any doubt in my life here? Say it again. No. No, amen, no. So what do you doubt? Where you're living. Depends on where you're living. Amen. It depends on whether you're living up in that new life or whether you're walking after the old life. Would you agree? Notice how God looks at the old life, this life that He saved us from. Let's read on. He says, verse 4, when Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall He also appear with Him in glory. Verse 5, mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth. Now, of course, mortify means in kill, destroy, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry. And these are the things of the flesh, say, for which things sake the wrath of God come upon the children of disobedience. In the which, verse 7, He also sometimes, when He lived in them. So He's not saying that, He's saying we've all gone to some degree that way because of Adam's fallen nature. But now you also put off all these. So now He says, well, I want you to put this off. Anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that He have put on off the old man with his deeds. And verse 10, here's the key. And have put on the new man, which is renewed in, say that word, knowledge, after the image of Him that created him. So what knowledge are we talking about? The knowledge of the Scriptures that we are now in Him in heaven. Does that make sense? It's a knowledge according to the Word of God. Not a knowledge according maybe to how I think about myself or anything like that. It's a knowledge, and when I do that, I'm now abiding in a place where there is no doubt, and now I'm walking in a place where God sees me from the secret place. And now, would you spare enough to say as a Christian that we have a new life? And old things have passed away? And all things become new? So this is kind of where we're talking about. So it's a way to look at these passages. Maybe this can help us in our personal walk with Him. When I live in the secret place, would you agree with me that I know that my prayers are answered? Think about this for a moment. If there is no doubt in heaven, right? And you pray according to the Father's will, is there any doubt that your prayer will be answered? Amen. Most of you Christians walk by doubt, I know. Amen. You say, how do you know that, Simon? Well, I've walked by doubt. But when you're walking by doubt, how is it? This is how it's for me, honestly. Lord, would you do this? Lord, would you show me this? Father, would you fix this problem? Amen. Is there anything too hard for the Lord? Did He find your keys the other day, Brother John? Amen? What was John doing? Quick, Allianz, $238 to get in my car. We were down the car the other day and I looked at the car and I thought, near the car, we were going to get to see if we can break in or something. And I said, Lord, how do we get in this thing? And He showed me, He said, there's a keyhole there. I said, John, where's the spare key? Oh, Angelina has it. She said, the battery's flat, we can't get in. But I'm thinking to myself, no, she's thinking about the remote. What about the other bit stuck on the end? Do you know where it is? So we drive back, we get the key, Angelina books it out. There you go, John. You say, what are you talking about, Simon? We panic. We often panic in doubt, not knowing how we're going to fix the situation. All we need to do is ask the Lord, can you show me what I need to do here? Listen, by the way, when you ask him to show you something, have you ever noticed how God will always get the glory? He's not going to show it to you how you think. Even I looked stupid when I saw the keyhole. Amen? Is there a key, John? Ring Angelina, quick. But the point is that there's a secret place that we can abide, and it's a secret place where there is no doubt, and there's an absence of doubt there. And of course, here's what I want to say to you, is that there's a place then that for the believer that he or she needs to learn to understand. Now I'm going to make this very clear, and this is probably a little on the other side to this. There is another life, and God doesn't like this life so much, but a man or a woman can get saved because salvation is by grace. Would you agree? It's really a free gift. And it's a gift that you can receive from him. How many of you believe in your heart you received that free gift? Okay. That is not the start. That just secures your position. What do you mean? It secures my position in Jesus Christ. It secures the fact that when I do die, I will wake up in glory. Amen? According to that verse. But that is not the start. A lot of people think salvation is the start. It isn't. The start to your Christian life is understanding the secret place. Let me explain what I'm talking about. I'll use this illustration. We often say, why do we want people to come to church? You say, from a pastor's point of view. As a pastor, I'm to feed the word to his people, really. Food or whatever it is that God has for you that can meet your particular need. Not me trying to, say, bow brash you or something, but just give out the word because it's food for us. And sometimes a believer can be saved. And the old timers used to say this, they never darken the door of a church. I don't really like that particular saying, but I will say this. Sometimes what happens, and I think this is why God set up the church in lots of ways, and I know the Lord can speak to you not being in here. Understand that. Please get what I'm trying to say. And the Lord can lead you not being in here. But sometimes what happens is that we have Christ in us. Would you agree? A believer can come in, and this is what I'm going to say, they've never really heard from God. They might have heard some comforting thoughts about their salvation. But they never really heard him speak. Who's ever been in a service and said, that Mr. Moore up there is reading my mail? He knows what I've been doing this week, which I haven't been. It's a place where God wants to get us so he can speak to us. Now this is why we meet. So he can speak to us from where? A secret place. You say, Brother Simon, how do you know it's secret? How many people come up to me and say, well, I didn't have a clue. You know when Graham got saved? He went and blamed Isabel. Have you been telling Simon these things? I didn't have a clue. Amen? Because God was speaking to Graham, it's a chance where God, the Saviour, your Saviour, can speak to you. Maybe in a larger sense. I mean, he does speak to you. He's always speaking to you. Amen. He's always. By the way, that's why we have prayer. He's always speaking. Can everyone say amen to that? The trouble is, none of us hear. Amen. He's always speaking, but we don't what? Listen. Why? Because we forget that we are to be abiding in a secret place, Our life is hid with God. Amen. I'm going to come to this because when should your life begin every morning with God? Every morning. Amen. Every morning, which I'll come to. So our life is hid with God. And so what happens, then a believer comes in, and they come into church, say, and now God, by His grace, is working in their heart, and the door is opening for them now to listen. From where? The secret place. You know what most people think? You know why most people don't come to church? They say, I don't want to hear from Simon. Well, I would agree. Come on, amen. You don't really want to hear from me. True? But we do want to hear from our Lord. So what happens, then God starts to speak to that individual in church. Who's ever had really that happen to them? I can put my hand up there. You know what's scary about it? I want you to think like this for a moment. You're hearing a voice in a larger volume than probably you've never really heard before. You remember the woman at the well? How loud was that voice when Jesus said, the one you're with is not your husband? It's not a thing about divorce or anything. It's just about God showing He knows you from a secret place and He's speaking to you from a secret place. And how loud is that volume when that woman said, how on earth does He know all these things? Come and hear a man that told me these things. So what happens then when someone gets in and you start and they open up and you start and they start hearing? Now how does faith come? By hearing. And now the door is opened for them hearing God, and they might not understand everything He's saying, but they're hearing Him. Who knows what I'm talking about? Guess what? You are now on the road for things to come. That's how it begins. You are now on the road for things to come. What do you mean? When a man or a woman receives the Word of God, then all of a sudden, now they're hearing from a different place. And the understanding now that God speaks from a secret place, if you want to put it that way, and they're receiving His word, and here's the great thing about it, is that I will guarantee you when that happens, that person's life will change. Their affections will change, their purpose will change, and their direction will change. Amen. I was here today and I was putting out the hymn books at the back and I thought, you know, why do we do this? Just something simple like this. We just do it for the Lord, don't we? Amen. There's no really rhyme or reason for it. We just do what He was. But isn't it interesting how your purpose and your affections do change? Your walk changes. You say, what are you talking about, Simon? If I'm abiding in Jesus Christ, then my walk will change. Come over to me to Matthew 19, verse 22. Matthew 19, verse 22. Now, what happens? Let's do the negative, everyone. let's do the area that maybe. There's something in your life where you're refusing to hear Him or refusing to maybe receive something from the Lord. Now, all of us, can I just be honest with you, all of us have been and all of us will be to some degree in this particular place I'm going to talk about. It's a place where we hear Him but we refuse Him. Okay, now let's everyone be honest. How many of you have heard Him and you have refused? Come on, just put yourself on the altar now. Just get it over and done with. You hear Him and you refuse Him. And here's the logical thinking. This is how most people think. Ah, that's all right, I'm saved. I'm going to heaven. I didn't need to hear that. Or you could even go this far. Oh, that's just the pastor. Or that's just my brother and sister in Christ. That's just them speaking. Have you ever noticed how we make excuses to turn off the dial when we want to? And yet God is trying to speak to us? Because remember, it's a secret place he's speaking from, but understand when God speaks from that area, that's according to his will, and God's will for our life is always the better, not the worse. God loves us. He doesn't want to speak to us to send us off into something that necessarily would be damaging, but rather he speaks from a place according to his will. Now that can cover a lot of things, we won't go there. But I want you to think about here in Matthew 19 and verse 22, this is the rich young ruler. Now, when Jesus was on earth physically, it's when he was there, there were two things that he represented. To the Jews, he represented the kingdom of heaven. And the kingdom of heaven would have been, if they had received his Messiah, he would have set up the kingdom. He would have still died on the cross and all that. We won't go into that. That's the kingdom of heaven. That's what the disciples wanted. But he also represented the kingdom of God. So when you got saved, where did God put you? Where did he translate you into? The kingdom of his dear son. Would you agree? How do you know that? He just told you that when he shall appear, we will appear what? With him. So already translated into the kingdom of his dear son. How? By salvation. So God puts us in him, in his kingdom. And a lot of people don't get this, but when Jesus Christ was here, he represented both. You say, how was that? Because who was Jesus Christ manifest in the flesh? Who was he? God. Amen. He was the God-man, one of the mysteries. That's why he said to the disciples, when I go, I'll send you another comforter. What are you talking about? He was the comfort. So when he was here, he said, there's God. Who were they to look for? Him. Their Messiah. Notice what happens here. So notice the rich young ruler here. Let's pick it up in verse 16. And behold, one came and said unto him, good master, what good things shall I do that I may have eternal life? Well, that's a good question. And he said unto him, why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. But if thou wilt enter into life, keep the commandments. Understand, when Jesus is speaking to this man, he knows who he is. He's also speaking to him from the standpoint, understanding that no man can keep the commandments, but who did? Jesus Christ. He saith unto him, which Jesus said, thou shalt, and he saith unto him, which? So the young man says, well, which commandment? Jesus said, thou shalt not murder, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, honour thy father and thy mother, and thou shalt love thy neighbour as thyself. By the way, who was the Ten Commandments given to? The Jews. They should have understood that. Young man said, save unto him, all these things have I kept from my youth up, what lack I yet? Well, he's a pretty moral young man. Jesus said unto him, if thou be perfect, go and sell that thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven. Come and follow me. Of course, that was a hard saying for Jesus to say to him. But when the young man heard that saying, he went away what? Sorrowful, for he had what? Great possessions. Wouldn't you say then that Jesus Christ's words were hard to him? Hard words. What if the Lord says something to us, we think it's hard, and we refuse? And I'm going to say this to you. This is what happens. Am I now abiding in the secret place, or am I now walking my own way? I'm walking my own way, in a sense. Have a look at the same passage in Luke chapter 18, verse 23. Look at Luke 18, verse 23. We won't read the whole passage, but notice what he says here. notice what God adds on to the end of this passage. Because when you study your Bible, you have to have the synoptic gospels. You've got to compare Matthew, Mark, Luke. He says, and when he heard, in verse 23, that's the rich young ruler, when he heard this, he was very sorrowful, for he was very rich. When Jesus saw that he was very sorrowful, he said, how hardly shall I have riches enter into the kingdom of God? What was keeping, can I say for a moment, that man from entering the kingdom of God? He refused the words of Christ, didn't he? So it was stopping him from going away, everyone, into the kingdom of God. Now I want you to think for a moment. So the Lord says, I want you to do this, even though you've done all this. This is a hard saying, but for you, this is what my will is for you. This is why God's will for each of us is different. And the Lord will speak to each of us differently. He says, now this is what I want you to do. I'm going to use me. Simon, this is what I want you to do. I'm hearing it from a place from where God sits. I have now a choice to either receive it or reject it. Would you agree? If I reject it, there's going to be a part in my life that God cannot dwell. There's a part of the kingdom of God that is not in my life. Notice he says, you cannot enter the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God in Romans 14:17 says that it's joy and peace in the Holy Ghost. How many of you lost your joy? Now let's be honest, come on, have lost your joy because you refused to do something God's asked you to do. And if you've never had that happen to you, you might need to check your salvation. I'm going to say that again. If that's never happened to you, you might need to check your salvation. If God cannot speak to you, and you are one of his, and then you refuse, well, you've got two roads. You're going to work a happy road or a miserable road. And this is what I'm going to say. So when God starts speaking to us, he wants us to get where? In. So the more and more he talks to you, the more and more I learn to get where? In. It just is tough, isn't it? But this is self-examination. If I've lost my joy because I refuse to do something that he's asked me to do, then understand it's not the Lord's problem, it's our problem. As Oswald Chambers said, God is a gentleman. He does not force himself on us. Amen? But what God does do, he puts authorities in our lives so we can hear from him. Would you agree with that? Well, depending how I look at that authority might depend upon my Christian life. Who's ever got to through the Christian life by yourself? Anyone? I've never got to through the Christian life by myself, amen? Have I had brothers and sisters to help me? Come on. I wouldn't be standing here today if it wasn't for what? Others? Who were the others? They were instruments that God put in my life so I could hear from who? Jesus Christ. Amen? And I have seen this. How many times if you reject those that God puts in your life, what generally happens to your life? You're going to start walking a life that's not found where? In the secret place. You can get back there, don't misunderstand me, okay? Don't misunderstand. I just want to get this thought through us because, and there's the secret place. Go to Romans 8:16. Now, can I say this from this point of view? There's a witness to this. There's a witness in your Bible. It's a witness that shows you or others where you are dwelling. Now, have a look in Romans 8. If I can get over there myself, Romans 8. And Paul's speaking. Romans 8 is obviously a great chapter to read in your Bible. Romans 8, notice he says here in verse 16. So he says in verse 16, Romans 8, yeah, here we go. The Spirit, capital S, now verse 15, we cry Abba, Father, because we are saved, he's our Father. Verse 16, the Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are what, everyone? The children of God. So there's a witness to that, isn't there? Have you ever noticed when someone comes in, or I shouldn't say that, we've got visitors, but I know they say it, I can tell. Amen? Yeah. Amen, and I can tell. I can tell by the what? The Spirit. There's a witness that shows where someone's at. Would you agree with me? It's a witness that we have in Christ. And we recognize other Christians by how? A spiritual witness. There's the opposite to that. There's also a witness that we have in us that shows when a brother and sister have rejected God's authority and voice in their life and now are walking how? To their own way. Amen? And there's a witness that says that brother or sister is not walking in that secret place. Guess what, guys? I'm a pastor. It's very important for me to make sure that I'm dwelling where? In the secret place, amen? It's a great responsibility. How does that begin, Simon? It begins for all of us first thing in the morning. Every morning I wake up and say, Lord, what is your will today? Not for the church, what is the will for you personally? How many of you do that? You get up in the morning, amen. Get up in the morning, get a devotion, get your Bible, but whatever you're doing, you're starting your day with the Lord, and really what you're doing is you're committing your day for His will, because you understand that I have now a life in God, and I need to walk according to His will. You need to do that every day. Don't think that God's just going to come along and somehow magically appear to you. It begins with a walk. It begins with me saying, oh, this is how I'm going to start my day. I need to start my day walking the hidden life in God. Thankfully, by His mercy, some of us have been saved here for a long time, amen, and you've been doing that for how many years? But when a brother or sister says, ignores the authorities that are in their life, or ignores that they have a spiritual life that they need to maintain, can I put it that way? You have a spiritual life, you need to maintain it. You need to understand, I need to be committing my day to the Lord. I want to know what His will is for the day. And He does direct us. He's, you know, if we commit our works unto Him, He'll establish our thoughts, all those kind of things. But then when a brother or sister doesn't want to do that, how then are they, where are they walking? In the secret place or where? Wherever. Okay, stay with me. I know this sounds boring. Go to Matthew 6:6. Now hopefully this can really help, because this is a great little devotion thought if you can apply it. It's Matthew 6:6. Jesus talking about prayer here. And He's talking about the secret place. Now this is a secret place that you and I can have daily. Now I'm going to note what He does here. Now take heed, everyone. Listen to what He says. This is what the Father says in heaven. This is what He says. This is a promise. This is not a maybe. This is real. This is true. You say, how do you know this? Well, I've tried it. Amen. I want to see if God's real. You can do that. You can challenge the Lord, can't you? Amen. Have a look what he says. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut the door. Would you say that's a secret place that you have? You don't have to literally go into a closet, okay? But if you want it, you can. Then he says, notice what he says, pray to thy Father, which is where, everyone? In secret. So where am I now putting myself? With him, risen. I'm talking to him from what standpoint? This life down here or my life that's hidden God? I'm talking from the standpoint of my life in Jesus Christ. I'm praying to him who sees where in secret. Where does the Father sit? On the throne? What am I asking him? What is your will? Okay, that's pretty simple. But now notice what the promise is. And thy Father. That's your Father. My Father. Which seeth, what everyone? In secret. Shall reward thee, what? Openly. Amen. Come on, guys. When you're not walking right with God, I know it. When you are, I know it. How do you say you know it, Simon? Because God, your Father, rewards you what? Openly. Amen. You can't hide. Amen. You know why? You know why people don't want to come to church? There's too much light there, brother. I might be showing up for my deeds. Amen. Who likes that idea? Not me. I don't like that idea. It's far better to get right with God and stay walking with him than go through all that drama. Would you agree with me? Who wants to come to church and say, now listen, brother, what happened to you this week? And listen, don't play me or don't play your brother or sister. We aren't stupid. You say, how come we're not stupid? Because you have the Spirit of God in you. Who's that? God. Amen. Greater is he that is in you that's in the world. Amen. All this fake nonsense today. Where are you abiding, brother? It's an interesting thought. But how does God put it? He says, if you be risen with Christ. You know the hard thing to do? I'm going to be honest with you. When you see a brother or a sister not walking right to the Lord, don't you want to play judge? Yeah. Wouldn't you like to just kill them? Wouldn't you like to say, you shouldn't be doing that, amen? Guess where I've got? I'm not abiding in the secret place any longer, amen? I've got over here in the flesh. And the Lord says, no, I want you back where my will is for your life, Simon. And pray for those that aren't quite in yet. But you know, it's something interesting. When God speaks to you, is there anything really like it? Can you really explain it to anyone? When the Lord speaks to you, everything will change in your life. And when he does, that means there are things to come. Just the same as that verse. He will do that. Have a look, and I'll just close here in Romans chapter 8. Who ever feels self-conscious, say, you're not too sure? There's a good verse in Colossians where he says we are complete in him. Sometimes we do feel self-conscious. We sometimes feel self-conscious, and when we do that, have you ever noticed how often the excuses come? We just sort of feel, we're relying on our feelings, we're not really trusting in the Bible. We do that. So in Romans 8, we were there before, I'll try and get back there quickly. In Romans 8, have a think about this. Now you have two lives, as I said. You have a life that's hidden God, you have a life that's down here on earth. When my life is in line with the life in God, then my life down here is a whole lot different to what most people think. I know when my wife met me, and I know when I've worked with people, you know what they often have said to me over the years? They said, you know, Simon, nothing offends you. Jan said that. What's wrong with this man? Nothing offends him. I think the verse is that nothing will offend us if we walk in God. I remember at work, there was a lady, and she would just swear. She could think of every word that she could find, and she would blankety blank 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 until she was actually red in the face, and she turned to me and she said, "You know, Simon, nothing offends you, does it?" I said, "No, nothing offends me." Why? Because we're in Christ. Nothing should offend us, especially the things down here. But have a look in Romans 8 again. I can't get there quick enough. This is dealing with where nothing shall separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus. It's a great verse to take with you through the week, a devotional thought. But have a look in Romans 8, where am I, and verse 35. Have a think what Paul says here. He says, "Who shall separate us from the love of Christ?" Who? Can anyone give me one good person who might separate us? What if you're walking with a partner or a friend that's not saved? They can't, but they might separate from you. Amen? But notice what he says. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation? That's when bad things happen. Or distress. Who gets distressed here? I do. I hate it. I hate stress. Persecution or famine. I don't need to get everyone to put up their hands, but who's been persecuted? Famine. What's famine? Just meaning that. There was a big famine in Genesis, wasn't there? In Egypt, or nakedness, or peril, or sword, as it's written, "For thy sake we are killed all the day long, we are counted as sheep for the slaughter," nay, in all these things. "We are more than conquerors through him that loved us, for I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God," which is where? "In Christ Jesus. And when he shall appear, we shall" what? "Appear with him also." Amen. Aren't they just great promises? Amen. Maybe take some of the promises from the Bible this week. Examine yourself. Think, well, where am I sitting? Am I really in? How do I react to things? Check how, what's my reaction to others? Do I see how, where God has me? And you start working on the fact that I have a life that's hidden God, and I do need to protect that life that's hidden God. By the way, just to say simply here, as a believer, one of the real hard things today is not to fall into the trap of Christian religion. Because that will actually attack that abiding that you have in Jesus Christ. Let's close in our last hymn, 255, Blessed Assurance.